This morning, as I share with you the Word of God, I want to notice verse number 2, the Gospel of Luke, chapter 11. The disciples had asked the Lord to teach them to pray, one of his disciples. And they said, John taught his disciples to pray, so Lord, teach us to pray. And that's what the model prayer is really all about, is the Lord teaching us how to pray. But in this model prayer, as we often refer to it, there are two words that I want to get your attention focused on today. I'm going to read again the second verse of Luke chapter 11. The Bible says, "And he," that is Jesus, "said unto them." If you have a red letter edition of the Bible, you'll notice the words that follow are all red. So they're the words of Jesus. He said, "When ye pray, say, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as in heaven, so in earth." I want to use as my title of my sermon today the two words, Our Father. Notice them. When ye pray, say, Our Father. May God bless us with understanding and use it for His glory. Would you join your heart with me again in a few moments of prayer? Our dear Heavenly Father, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we come to you in prayer, we thank you so much for the many blessings of life. And we know we've never begun to really thank you for all you've done for us. You've done so much. But Lord, right now we want to focus on a very special blessing. And we need to remember that this is a special blessing. And we need to be grateful and thankful for this blessing. So as I try to call it to the attention of your children today, Lord, I ask for your blessings. I ask for the presence of your Holy Spirit, not just with me as I try to preach, but with each and every one who is assembled in your house today. I pray, dear Lord, that the Holy Spirit will just take your word and make it special to each and every heart, that it'll speak to us in a way that we need it to speak to us today in these days and times in which we live, and especially to us as fathers, that we might understand more and more our responsibility before Thee as earthly fathers. So, Lord, bless your word for your glory and to the hearts of your children, and help us as we endeavor to study it together, and give liberty through your Holy Spirit and His power for your glory and by your grace. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. As the Lord impressed these words, these two words, Our Father, upon my heart, and I began to think about them and ponder them and study and pray about them, I realized some things that I never really realized before. I think we all need to be continuing to discover things in God's Word that we haven't discovered before, because that's an indication that we're continuing to go to the Word of God and study and meditate upon it. But I knew these two words were recorded in the Gospel of Matthew chapter number 6 and verse number 9. But the presentation that God inspired Luke to write is a little bit different. It is a little more abbreviated. It does not end in the Gospel of Luke with "Thine is the power and the glory forever. Amen." That's not in Luke. Now, by the Holy Spirit in His inspiration put it upon Matthew's heart to write those words, but not upon Luke's heart. I can't explain the workings of God, my brothers and sisters, only to tell you that's the way that it is in the Word of God. But the two words, Our Father, is the basis of my sermon this morning, are found both in the Gospel of Matthew as well as the Gospel of Luke. And those, of course, are the first time, as I can understand it, that these two words, Our Father, are found in the New Testament. And they are spoken by Jesus. But what I did not know, or had never realized, just had not thought about, I suppose, because I've read through the Bible on various occasions, but it just never grasped my heart. It never was revealed to me. But these two words, Our Father, are found a total of 19 times in the New Testament. And 17 of those times, those two words, Our Father, and you might not think about this, but they were written by the great Apostle Paul. Now, Jesus was the greatest preacher to ever live and walk on this earth. In my humble opinion, the Apostle Paul was the second greatest preacher to live and walk upon the earth. And God blessed him and God filled him with such inspiration that he wrote more than half of the New Testament. But listen to this. In Romans chapter 1, verse 7, this is the first time that he mentions it. And he says in verse 7, And all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God, our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. So Paul then goes on through various other epistles or letters to use those two words again and again for a total of 17 times. So these are very important words. But what do they mean? When Jesus is saying them, they mean something glorious and very significant. Because Jesus is saying, Our Father, he was speaking to his disciples. And he was saying that my Father is your Father. Your Father in heaven is my Father in heaven. So he puts it together and says, Our Father. You know, with our earthly fathers, I could say to my brothers and sisters, and I have two of each, I could say, Our Father taught us this or that. And so when Jesus says, Our Father, he is talking to all of the children of God, to all of us to say, Our Father which art in heaven. Jesus, I think, gives a great insight into those two words in the Gospel of John. And he mentions in the 20th chapter, in the 17th verse, when he had risen from the dead, he said to the women who came, said, Touch me not, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. But go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend to my God and to your God and to my Father and to your Father. See, Jesus is bringing them together. It's our Father, which art in heaven. So the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, he is saying, is your Father and my Father, which is in heaven. Now, we have two fathers. We have an earthly father. Now, we may have many others who will fill the role of father. But biologically, I'm speaking, by birth, there is an earthly father. And that's how we are born into the world. It's how we come into being. But there is also a heavenly father to all who are saved. And so we need to understand both kinds of the father. For example, God is the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. We understand that. The Bible says in Matthew 1:21, "She shall bring forth a son, thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." And then in verse 23, two verses later, "that it might be brought to pass that which was saying by the prophet, behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel," which being interpreted is God with us. So you see, he was talking about the prophecy of Isaiah in Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. And it's brought to the New Testament to say that which Isaiah spoke some 700 to 800 years approximately before the actual birth of Jesus was simply pointing toward and being fulfilled when Jesus Christ was born of the Virgin Mary. And so that's what Jesus is saying there. Now, Mary, when she discovered that she was with child, had a very serious dilemma in her heart. She did not understand. When she was told by the angel of God, "You're going to give birth to the Son of God," she couldn't figure that out. She had never been sexually intimate with a man. How then could she be with child? She just could not figure it out and rationalize it in her mind until Gabriel told her and explained it to her. In Luke 1:35, "The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, the power of the high shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing that shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God." In other words, God in heaven, by the power of the Holy Spirit, would come upon that young woman named Mary. By the power of Almighty God that spoke into existence the world and the universe as we know it, would create life in her. And Jesus would be born of a virgin named Mary and would be called the Son of God. So no question that Jesus was God, the Father's Son. So what about us? How do we fit in this picture? Well, let me read to you a couple of verses from Acts chapter 17, verses 28 and 29. Now, think about it and get it in your mind. We are the offsprings of our earthly parent, earthly father and mother. So Paul was writing, verse 28, "For in him we live and move and have our being, as certain also of your own poets have said, for we are also his offspring." Not just Jesus, we are also his offsprings. Verse 29, "For as much then as we..." Paul talking to people then, me talking to you now. "As much as we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the Godhead is like unto gold or silver or stone, graven by art and man's devices." No, God is tremendously different from anything that man could create. And so was Jesus. But the point I wanted you to get out of those words of Paul was the fact we are the offspring of God. Now, how can that happen? Well, I told you about a rather remarkable and miraculous birth of Jesus. Let me talk about our birth. We've had a second birth, you know. That's why in John chapter 3, when Jesus was talking to Nicodemus about being born again, Nicodemus couldn't understand what he's talking about. I guess no more than Mary understood when the angel Gabriel said, "You're going to give birth to the Son of God." It didn't make any logical sense. It's not the norm. It's not the common. It's not what's going on in the world. And so, kind of strange. And as Nicodemus wrestled in his own mind with that idea, Jesus explained it by saying in John chapter 3, verse 6 and 7, "That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, you must be born again. You see, we had an earthly birth because we had an earthly mother and an earthly father. But because we are the children of God and the offspring of God, it's because we've had a heavenly birth as well as an earthly birth. And so when the Spirit of God came, whenever it was, He came to you, or when He came to me, and it was a long time ago, I'll tell you, when I was just a child, I came to love God, and God meant something in my life. And I know now as an adult why. Because God had touched my heart and I was born again. I was born not just of my mother and my father. I was born of heaven's birth. I was born of the Spirit of God. And if you believe in God and you love God and you believe His Word, it's an indication you have also been born of God's Holy Spirit. You were born of the earth, yes, but you've been born of heaven as well. So we have earth's birth. That's our earthly father. But heaven's birth means God is our Father. So Jesus can say not only of the disciples 2,000 years ago or so, He can say of us now, our Father. He's my Father, as the Son of God, Jesus would say, but He's also your Father as the children of the living God. Now, having said that and trying to explain that, and I know it's a very deep subject and very mysterious to the natural mind and the natural flesh, but having come to that point in my sermon, I want to talk about God as our Father and provisions that He has made. You know, all through history as we've known it, basically, the Father's been the gatherer off the land, and the mother was the caretaker of the children and cooked and fed. And of course, the world's changed today, and ideas have changed and attitudes have changed. But let me just simply say, for the most part of the time this earth has been populated by human beings, the earthly father was most often the provider of the food for the feeding. So there were certain roles and certain responsibilities to a father and other responsibilities to a mother, and neither was more really important. They all maintained the family. It took both of them to raise the children and feed the children and care for the children. So then if Jesus would say, our Father, and open that window of understanding that God is our Father, then what does God do for us? What does God provide for us? Do you think about it? Well, I got to thinking about it. Three things, and I know this is just scratching the surface of all that God is. And I could preach every sermon from now till the day God calls me home, and I'd never be able to preach it all out to you. And I'm telling you, this is just an ultra-abbreviated idea in this sermon today. Three things I want to tell you God, our Father, has done for us. Number one, He's loved us. He has loved us with a great love. You know how I know that? Because the Bible says He did. For example, in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 4, but God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us, has quickened us together with Christ. By grace you're saved. See, every person who's been saved by grace has been washed in the blood of the Lamb of God, Jesus. He died on the cross for our sins, and so He paid the debt we could not pay. When Jesus went to the cross, He represented all of God's elect. At one point in history, all God's people in the past, all God's people in the future, all God's people at that present moment. And He represented us all, and He did so with love in His heart for all of us. He loved us. with a great love, so much that the day came when God the Father said, "It's time," and Jesus left heaven's glory, and he came to take your place and mine on the cruel cross of Calvary. Now that's how much God loved us. The second thing I want to say to you is, because God loves us, you may not like this. There's a part of me that doesn't like this. But because God loves us, he sometimes chastens us. I didn't like it when my father did it on earth, and I don't like it when my heavenly father has to do it. But I'm going to tell you something, brothers and sisters, that I believe with all the conviction of my heart. Sometimes it took chastening from my earthly parents to get me on the right path. And sometimes, and I believe this, it takes chastening by our heavenly father to keep us on going on the right path too. For whom he loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. And that's in Hebrews 12, I believe, verse 6. If God loves us, he chastens us. That's what it says. When we do wrong, God says, "No, you can't do that. I won't have it. I may stand for it for a while, but keep going in that direction, and it won't end well." Sometimes that's the way it is. But his chastening always, always comes out of a heart of love and from a hand of grace and goodness to us. He reminds us one place that our earthly fathers, in fact, it's the book of Hebrews, didn't always chasten us for that reason. Sometimes they chastened us for other reasons. Sometimes they chastened us in anger. You know, we just pushed the buttons till we pushed them to the limit. And they chastened us. They disciplined us. They loved us, yes. But that's not what moved them at that moment. But every time, no exception, when God chastens us, it's always because he loves us. So he chastens us. The third thing is, he loves us enough to chasten us. He loves us enough to provide for our needs. Earthly parents provide for us. You think about it a little when you were born into the world, and I know you can't remember back that far, I can't either. But if we had been born and our parents just walked away from us, we wouldn't be here today. We'd be dead. We would have died. We could not have survived. We needed them to take care of us and to bless us and get us up big enough to eat on our own and walk on our own and then to learn what not to do and what to do and what was dangerous and would hurt us and what would help us. And that we needed all of that. And when we reached maturity and had absorbed all of that, then we can see how they had provided for us. Probably not until we reach maturity that we ever come to appreciate really the sacrifices that our parents made in providing for us. It wasn't always easy, but they did it because they loved us. God chastens us because he loves us, but because he loves us, he also provides for us. James 1:17 reminds us every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. He's called specifically there the Father of lights, plural. You might think, well, the Bible does say God is light and in him is no darkness at all. John tells us that. But there's more to it than that. He's the Father of lights. There are two kinds of lights. There's natural lights illuminating inside this sanctuary. There's spiritual light illuminating within the heart by the Word of God. God made them both. Do you remember when he created the world? Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the word, verse 2 says, it was filled with darkness and void was upon the face of the earth. And verse 3, and God said, let there be light, and there was light. God created light, physical light. He put the sun and the moon and the stars and the planets and the heavens. But then Paul said in 2 Corinthians 4:6, God, who commanded then the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Same God said, let there be light, and there was physical light, is the same God that shined in your sin-darkened heart and my sin-darkened and depraved heart and brought the light of the knowledge of Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior and the sinless Son of God. So God is the Father of lights, but is also the giver of every good gift and every perfect gift he gave. They come from him. Why? I'll tell you this, I don't deserve God's blessings. I don't. I've never done anything to merit God's goodness to me. But Ben and I often talk about all through these years how good God's been to us. We don't deserve it, but he's given it to us because he loves us, and he's done that for you, my brothers and sisters. All right, let me draw to an end my sermon this morning. Our Father is the Father of Jesus, is the God of the universe, our Father which art in heaven. He is, in addition to our earthly father, our spiritual, eternal father. See, comes a time for earthly fathers can't be fathers anymore. The years run by us and we leave our children behind for the next generation. And they, in turn, will do the same if time goes on. And not with God. God has forever been Father. God will forever be Father. When we've been in heaven's glory 10,000 years, as the songwriter put it, did you know God will still be our Father? He still will be our Father, which art in heaven. So then what should we ponder as fathers and as children of God today? We ought to be followers of God as dear children. And that's how Paul put it in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 1. Be ye followers of God as dear children. We ought to follow God. Follow his word. Follow his teachings. Follow his will for our lives. After all, it really does belong to him anyway. He can call it back anytime he's ready for it. Be followers of God as dear children. And one other verse I want to share with you. And it's the 20th verse of Philippians 4. And I'm going to read it to you because I don't want to misarrange a single word on this by mistake. And I'm a human and I'm not. Now, Philippians 4:20. Now unto God and our Father. There are those two words again. Did you notice that? That's the two words we're pondering today. Now unto God and our Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. Now here's what I want you to get. Right now, that's where this verse begins. Begins with that three-letter word, now, present tense, now. At this moment in time, from now on, to God and our Father be glory forever and ever. And that reaches beyond our earthly existence. It does. But as long as we're here, we ought to want to glorify him. We ought to want to praise him, to acknowledge his goodness in our life, and to tell others how good he's been to us, and to thank him often for the blessings he sends our way. And that little last word, a very appropriate ending of the sermon. Amen? So it is. So shall it be. May God be pleased. May God be praised. As our Father, which art in heaven. Let us pray. Father, thank you for being our Father, for taking such good care of us all the days we have lived. And our hope and our trust for all our tomorrows is in you. O Lord, our Father in heaven, God of all the universe, take care of us, forgive us, bless and use us for your glory, for your praise. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.